Earth-Shatteringness, the program that is devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they've become counterproductive. They're part of the problem, not the solution, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, anytime over the next 3 hours, is 877-300-7645. Police in central France shot a man who attacked them with a knife while shouting, "This article says God is great, but we know better." He was shouting, "Allahu Akbar." And it is astonishing to me. It's just absolutely astonishing to me that the media can all be in lockstep with a lie. You know, that a lot of times when you point out lies in popular belief systems, such as you point out the lies in Islam and say the Quran is the worst book ever written, that Muhammad was a terrorist, that Muhammad was a pedophile, Muhammad was a rapist, that the Quran's foundational claim that it confirms the Torah is an absolute lie, that Islam is a terrorist dogma, a declaration of war against all humankind. When you make those kind of statements, all of which are based in fact, people say it can't be true because, well, the world's largest religion and fastest growing religion is Islam. Well, it isn't actually the world's largest religion. That would be Christianity, which, and even that is being rivaled today as the largest religion by socialist secular humanism, putting Islam in third place. But nonetheless, popularity is seen as a reason that evidence and logic don't hold sway. Well, the same thing is true here. You know, people may be reluctant to accept the fact that Allahu Akbar does not mean God is great. Not even close to that, because they've seen it repeated so many times. And it is a conspiracy when everyone repeats the same lie. It is a conspiracy. So if you're a conspiracy fellow, you know, or gal or girl, if that's your thing, well, here is absolute proof of conspiracy. Everybody repeating the same lie. And it's, as I say, it's not close. Allah is not the Arabic word for God. It's not the word for God in any language. Allah, according to the Quran, is one of the Islamic God's names. The Islamic God was called the Lord, which is Satan's name and title. Then the Islamic God was called Ar-Rahman, which is the God of the Yemeni Hanafis that Muhammad plagiarized in creating the initial Meccan surahs. And then after Muhammad was thrown out of Mecca in shame following the satanic verses, following the imaginary wild ass ride to the non-existent temple in Jerusalem, Muhammad was changed the name of the Islamic God to Allah. And the Quran clearly says that Allah, like Ar-Rahman, is the Islamic Illahs, which is the Arabic word for God, name. So this does not say Allahu Akbar is not God is, it's Allah is. And Akbar is a superlative. It's not, and it's a comparative superlative. It doesn't mean great. It means primarily bigger, older, and greater. Bigger, older, and greater. It's a comparative term. It was used in the Islamic attack on Khaibar. It is amongst the most important incidents in all of world history. And it's amazing that something this important to understanding the world as it is consistently misrepresented. Because there's very few things that enable a person to better understand Islam, understand what who Allah is, who Muhammad was, what one should do relative, how one should respond to Islam, then Allahu Akbar. If you understand Allahu Akbar, you know who Allah is. You know that Muhammad was demon-possessed per his own admission. You know that Islam is satanic and that it is demonic and rotten to the core. And you know you should never negotiate with a Muslim, ever. You see, the first shouting of Allahu Akbar was after Muhammad signed a 10-year peace treaty with the Meccans. And in it, it wasn't the Meccans weren't asked to do anything. The Meccans weren't asked to do it because the Meccans weren't doing anything. The Meccans were traitors. They had no police. They had no army. They weren't aggressive. They were just traitors. Ran caravans. Muhammad, however, had become a pirate. Muhammad had become a thief. Muhammad had become a kidnapper, a slave trader. He'd become a terrorist. He'd become a mass murderer. He'd become sadistic. And so the Meccans, when Muhammad got cold feet, he came down with about 1,000 of his jihadists to capture Mecca. And for some reason, he got scared. And so Muhammad, rather than attack Mecca, decided that he would sign a peace treaty with them, where he renounced that he was this notion, that he was Allah's messenger. And then he promised for 10 years that he would not terrorize the Meccans. He wouldn't kidnap them. He wouldn't rape them. He wouldn't enslave them. He wouldn't rob them. He wouldn't kill them, which are things that he had done persistently the past 10 years. He said, I won't do it anymore. Signed his name. Well, you see, that's important because the following year, Muhammad came down with 10,000 men under arms and promptly terrorized Mecca and conquered it and reneged on every aspect of his promise. And the Quran affirms in Hudud Bayad that any treaty between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is not binding on the Muslim. So any non-Muslim or a Muslim even from a different sect who negotiates a treaty with a Muslim is a fool. They're just ignorant. The Muslim will not honor the treaty, period. All the purpose is of a negotiation with a Muslim, from the Muslim's perspective, is to make the non-Muslim easier prey. So you don't negotiate land for peace with the Muslims in the West Bank and Gaza, because you know who they are. You don't try to negotiate with the Islamic State. You don't try to negotiate with any Islamic country under any circumstance. That's first. Second, you realize that Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist, and so were the first Muslims. You see, after Muhammad said, you know, we're not going to go and pummel Mecca, the jihadists with him had a conniption fit because they only accompanied him because they knew that they would be able to enslave the children. They knew they would be able to rape the women. They knew they would be able to steal property. They knew they would be able to kill all things that they loved. And so the only way that Muhammad was able to turn them such that they didn't take out their anger at him was to find an easy patsy prey on the way back to Medina. And the prey was Kabar, a farming village of Jews. And so he showed up one morning with his 1,000 militants armed to the teeth. And they all looked at him and said, well, here the Jews are coming out, and all they've got is farm implements. What do you want us to do? And he says, shout, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. Greater than whom? You know, when a God, when you say that your God is greater and you're talking to the Jews, the implications are obvious if your mind is open, if your eyes are open, if you're the least bit thoughtful, the implication is obvious. Allah is being proclaimed as greater than Yahweh, the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the God of Abraham, of Yitzhak, of Jacob, the God of Yisrael. Allah is greater. There's only one spirit that's ever stated that his goal was to be greater than Yahweh, Satan. So in this one statement, you come to know who Allah is, Satan. You come to know what Allah's desire is in the creation of Islam, to supersede Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, to get men to worship him, Satan, as if he were God. And you also come to know that the principal characteristic that defined Muhammad and the first Muslims was terror. They terrorized Kaaba. They killed the men. They systematically raped the women. They enslaved the children. They stole everything they had. That event defined Islam. It has never changed. It explains why Boko Haram kidnaps and rapes little girls. It explains why the Islamic State kidnaps, enslaves, and rapes little girls. It explains why both groups are ruthless terrorists. It's all you need to know. If you understand Allahu Akbar and why Muslims shout it today as a confession, and you will understand what happened on 9/11 with the suicide bombings. You will understand what is transpiring throughout the Islamic world. You will understand why there is a Dome of the Rock and a furthest mosque on the Temple Mount. You will understand why Muslims want so badly to kill Jews and to destroy Israel. You will understand why Islam perpetrates 99.9% of terrorist acts worldwide. You will understand why there are no freedoms in the Islamic world. You will understand why Muslims kill. It's all laid out for you when you simply know the proper translation and the context of Allahu Akbar. Very few things are as important. Very few things are as revealing. Very few things are as conclusive as understanding the confession. Allahu Akbar. It is the ultimate lie. It is Satan's ultimate desire. We'll be back. So the man shouting Allahu Akbar, which means that he is a Muslim, injured three police officers in the city of Tours before he was shot. The assailant was a French national with a long criminal record. A source close to the investigation told France's news agency. The anti-terrorism investigators were sent to the scene. Gee, I wonder if they'll be able to make the connection. A member of France's police union told 2 TV channel that the attacker had a long knife, kind of like the fellow in the UK who killed the two people while being recorded and shouting Islamic slogans. He was banging on the fittings of the door, so the officers opened the door to see what was going on, and he immediately threw himself at my colleagues, said Mr. Stephen, stabbing one in the hand and attacking the other on the face and neck. The investigators reportedly focusing on whether radical Islam played a role and launched an inquiry into the attempted murder and criminal conspiracy in connection with a terrorist organization, the BBC is reporting. I mean, can you imagine the terminology there? The man was screaming Allahu Akbar. I would ask you, how many political entities have an Allah? That would be none. How many religious entities have an Allah? Oh, that would be one. How many militant groups outside of Islam have an Allah? That would be none. How many Islamic terrorists shout Allahu Akbar? Oh, that would be all of them. Let's see. Do we think there's a connection? Every Islamic terrorist shouts Allahu Akbar before committing an atrocious, heinous act, confessing to the crime. So, do you think Islam played a role? And what's this radical Islam? Is there a different? Maybe there's a radical Muhammad out there. Maybe there's a radical Quran. Maybe there's a radical Hadith. Maybe rather than the Islam that Muhammad conceived in the 7th century that devastated the world in the 8th century, maybe there is a different Islam, a radical Islam that we all missed, and that radical Islam has its own radical Quran. And rather than having the five pillars, it has the radical pillars. What do you think? Do you think there's such thing as a radical Islam? Or do you think that this term, extremist and radical, are part of the media and political conspiracy all designed to keep people ignorant? I think it played a role. And they launched an attempted murder and criminal conspiracy in connection with a terrorist organization. You know, the terrorist organization is Islam. Muhammad was a terrorist. You don't have to belong to a special Islamic club to express your Islam. You know, the fellow in Australia, he didn't belong to a special Islamic terrorist group. He's just a Muslim. This fellow in France didn't have to belong to a special Islamic terrorist group, just a Muslim. Hassan, the Allahu Akbar killer at Fort Hood, had no Islamic terrorist group connection, just a Muslim. It's true consistently. Some reports suggest that the attacker's brother was known to have expressed a desire to travel to Syria. Gee, I wonder why. What's going on in Syria? In 2012, French Islamist Mohamed Merah killed seven people in the city of Tunis, and he was eventually killed after a 32-hour siege. French authorities say that 13 people were injured Sunday when a driver deliberately slammed his car into crowds in several locations around the city of Dijon in eastern France. And while it sounds like it should be the same, the fact is this driver was heard shouting before he plunged his car into the crowd of 13 people. He was shouting, "What does this article say? God is great." Conspiracy. Universal and complete. The media would prefer to lie to you than have you recognize the truth. This is so simple. I mean, it is so obviously simple that Allah is the name of the Quranic God, and that Allah is the word in Arabic for God. It's not hard. Wake up, people. So here we are in France, one story after another. You've got the Allahu Akbar knife-wielding would-be assassin. And then you have the Allahu Akbar shouting driving would-be assassin. Sky News reports that witnesses heard the driver shouting that he was acting on behalf of the children of Palestine. That's what the piece of crap Muslim shouted. Now, that's one of the reasons that lies are so deadly, so corrosive. Muslims want you to believe that there is such thing as a place called Palestine and a people called Palestinians. And if you go back prior to 1948, the term was only used in British scholastic circles. The Brits are scumbags as it relates to this kind of stuff. And see, the Brits used the old Roman myth of Philistia. Now, why the Brits would acquiesce to a Roman lie, it's beyond me. I mean, the Brits were, you know, effectively pummeled by the the Romans. And yet they embraced the Roman lie of Philistia. Now, do you think there was a British scholar using Palestine that didn't know that it was a Roman myth? No. Do you think there was a British scholar using the term Palestine that didn't know that the colony, the province in the Roman Empire was Yehuda? No, they all knew it was Yehuda. Every one of them. Everyone knew that the Romans called the province Yehuda. Without exception. They know that when Alexander the Great passed through and added that territory to his claim on the world, that it was the province of Yehuda in Israel. No question about it. Everyone that has ever pretended to have any knowledge of history knows that the Philistia name was created by one of the most egregious, despicable people in all of human history, Hadrian. The man who wanted to name Jerusalem after himself. The man who effectively destroyed not only Jerusalem, but all of Israel. A man who burned every copy of the Torah. And if he could burn the copy of the Torah wrapped around a Hebrew literate Jew, he would do so. A man who crucified tens of thousands of Jews, if not hundreds of thousands of Jews. And Hadrian, after defeating the Jewish uprising in the province of Yehuda, and after starting it by announcing that he was going to rename Jerusalem after himself and that he was going to build a massive shrine to himself there so that the legions could come to worship him as God. He, knowing that the arch enemy of Israel had been the Philistines, decided to use that term to refer to the province of Yehuda. Now, at that time, the Philistines, this is the 2nd century CE, the Philistines were wiped out in the 6th century BCE, the last of them. They were wiped out by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. There isn't a single Philistine left in the world. There hadn't been for 700 years. There hadn't been a Philistine making a footprint on this planet for 700 years. And even when the Philistines existed, they existed in 5 or 6 villages and towns. They only existed in that little enclave that we would call southern Gaza. They had no writing, no history. Nothing is known of them. They have no monuments. There is literally nothing that is known of them apart from what is written in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. So if the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms are truthful, they cease to exist. They existed and then ceased to exist 600 years before the province of Yehuda was named after them. And if it's true, then Israel belongs to the Jews. And there is no such thing as a Palestinian or a place called Palestine. If the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms are true. If the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms aren't true, then there never was such a thing as a Philistine. Because nothing is known about them otherwise. There's no record of their existence. So the very term, if the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms are untrue, is mythical. So when you use that term, what you're doing is saying, truth doesn't work for me, so I need to promote a lie. And when you cite that as a justification for killing, You're saying, I am way too stupid to be trusted with a motorized vehicle. That my religion has corrupted my ability to think so that I am now wholly and completely irrational. The reason that Muslims' children were killed in the Gaza-Israel war is because Muslims decided to renege on their treaty with Israel and to start launching rockets into Israel. That's after Hamas, the Islamic terrorist organization, had chosen to kidnap 4 Israeli children and murder them, and then brag about the murders and saying that they, the murderers and kidnappers of these children, had played a great and heroic role in the religion of Islam. And they made it even worse because they then moved their rocket launchers and their attacks sites to schools. So that when Israel retaliated, which Israel had to do, against the rocket launchers, the bombing attacks, no matter how precise, are going to kill women and children because women and children had been chosen to shield these rocket launchers because the Muslims are so scummy, so repulsive. They wanted their women and children to die for their religious zeal. Truth is really important. When you use terms incorrectly, there is a tremendous consequence, not only on Allahu Akbar, but in the myth that the Jews are responsible for killing a mythical people known as Palestinians. And yet to this Muslim screamed, I'm doing it on behalf of the children of Palestine. Would you tell me how running your car into pedestrians is doing a service for the children of a mythical people? Even if the people actually had a claim, what would running your car into innocent people that you don't even know, what benefit would that serve? That's the problem of religion, and particularly a religion as corrosive, as demonic, as despicable, as deadly as Islam. When you come to know what Allahu Akbar means, when you come to know the truth about this myth of a people called Palestinians and a place called Palestine, you're in a position to understand the world as it is today. You understand why politicians should never be trusted. Why everyone in positions of power is doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason. The whole siege and rampage lasted about 30 minutes. 2 of the injuries were described as serious. The Interior Ministry told the Associated Press that the driver in Sunday's car accident, a 40-year-old driving a Renault, as if that mattered, was known to police for minor offenses throughout the 90s. Eric Delzant, a local police officer, told Europe One's radio the driver, who was detained, suffered psychological problems. Yeah, it was a Muslim. It destroys one's conscience. French officials Monday cautioned against jumping to conclusions about the attacker and his motives. Oh, yeah, why would we want to conclude that he was a Muslim when he confessed to the crime by shouting Allahu Akbar and that he's doing it on behalf of the children of Palestine? I mean, what? Gee. You know, he may well have been a fundraiser for the Girl Scouts. That might have been what he was trying to do. I mean, he might have been a Roman Catholic choir boy, upset that he didn't get to hold the biggest candle. I mean, he could have been a Russian separatist in protest of the Donetsk bombings. Oh, no. Maybe not. He said that the investigation in Dijon was just beginning. Gee, why bother? The government has stepped up security measures for police and other authorities. Oh boy, why not just begin with telling the truth? The Sunday night rampage came a day after a knife attack on a policeman in the town of Tours in central France that counter-terrorist police are investigating. The incident, the two police officers were seriously injured in the attack. It was not immediately clear whether the two weekend incidents were connected, according to this journalist. Let's see, they were both shouting, Allahu Akbar. And you can't figure out that there is a connection between these things. Now, the Hebrew word for understanding, bien, means to make a connection between things. And you have two confessions. People doing heinous things on behalf of the Islamic God, pronouncing that the Islamic God is greater, bigger, older than the real God, Yahweh. And you can't make a connection between these things? Seriously? Dateline is New York. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio faced the biggest crisis of his political career, as if we care. On Sunday, after a gunman killed two police officers in an attack intended to avenge recent police killings of unarmed black men in the United States. I'm not sure the second half of that statement is accurate. I don't think that was the intent. And if it was part of the intent, it wasn't the major reason. It wasn't the primary reason that this man perpetrated the killing of the New York cops. New York police officers turned their backs on de Blasio in protest during a news conference, and their union said the mayor had blood on his hands. Now, I want to tell you, I have no respect for New York police officers. Absolutely none. Do I think that it was right to kill these two guys? Of course not. But this union head for the New York Police Officers Association, the man that said that the individual that was killed with the chokehold, the African-American that is known now for I Can't Breathe, that he brought his death upon himself, according to the head of the New York Police Officers Association, that all he would have had to do is just surrender and you know, he would have been taken downtown into the police station in handcuffs for, you know, a few hours and might have spent half a day there in jail, but, you know, he would have been released. That it was his mistake in not acquiescing, not surrendering to that. So it's, in his view, it's okay for the police officer to go ahead and kill a man because an innocent man didn't want to surrender his freedom to cops acting like thugs. Then he went on to say, it's, you know, this idea that he couldn't breathe, that's just nonsense. If he couldn't breathe, that he couldn't have said, I can't breathe. If you listen to it, each successive I can't breathe got quieter and quieter as he ran out of breath. But when he made those statements, exonerating, in his words, the cops, while condemning their victim, I lost all respect for the New York City judicial system. And when the judicial system in New York decided that it would not prosecute the officers that I witnessed, as did America on the videotape, murdering not only an innocent man, but murdering a man that was doing the right thing. He broke up a fight. And then they came and they killed him. I mean, it is reprehensible. So, did they, in their conduct, did they, in their subsequent statements, bring harm on themselves, discredit upon themselves? Did they enrage the population? Absolutely. I'm disgusted by them. I can tell you that there's one place you will never see me. New York. I wouldn't go there if you told me there was a pot of gold at the Rainbow and you gave me a first class ticket. I'm not going there. I don't want to be subjected to that kind of a broken judicial system, those kind of murderous cops, nor a union that acts this way. So, them turning their backs on the mayor, shame on them. They brought shame to themselves. Did those two guys deserve to die? No. But is the New York Police Department rotten to the core? Absolutely. In fact, one of the politicians said, you know, that killing the cops, it breaks the very foundation of our society. If the foundation of your society is a cop, then I'm going to tell you, you're in serious trouble. Now, the fact is, the gunman here, a 28-year-old black man, he had a long history of arrests, and his life was a mess. Part of the problem, of course, is we don't have a judicial system in America. We have a legal system, and the legal code is corrupt, as is the whole legal system. And he was constantly in and out of jail because we've lost the ability to exercise good judgment as a society. We've lost the ability to hold evil accountable. And while I would agree that part of this man's motivation was the despicable actions of the New York Police Department, that wasn't his primary motivation. You know, man's website was taken down by police. Taken down. Just as the websites of every other Muslim have been taken down after they perpetrated heinous acts based upon their religion. You see, on the man's website, he said he was going to do this in the name of Allah and quoted the Quran 860.